Thank you so much for joining us, Jason.
Hi, Ruby. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. How about you?
Yeah, I'm great.
Great to hear it. Now, firstly, why is Australia so obsessed with reality TV shows? Is there some kind of psychology behind why we consume reality TV in such a large number?
The psychology behind it is both really simple and complex at the same time. Now, we know that reality TV, that's kind of a bad name for these shows, because we know as audiences that these are highly scripted, highly edited, really contrived kind of TV experiences. But the appeal of those shows is what could be called, or what you could call, emotional realism, or the heightened emotions that are part and parcel of these shows are what we as audiences latch onto. And we use those emotions as rehearsals for similar emotions in our own life. So, you know, if you take the dating shows, The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Married at First Sight, all of those, we're all in relationships, or we've all had relationships. We've had good relationships. We've had terrible relationships. Mm. So we can all relate to the emotional experience of what's going on. So on one hand, we're quite savvy in the sense that we know reality television is a misnomer. But at the same time, we latch on to the heightened emotional realism, and that's what forms the basis of reality TV's appeal, and also why it can circulate, or why it does circulate across social media, lunchroom conversations, FM radio. So it's kind of like its own media virus in many ways.
Absolutely. And so do you think there's like a specific kind of demographic that consumes reality TV more than others? Or do you think it kind of, I don't know, because reality TV is such a big genre that covers so much. There's a lot of sub-genres in reality TV. So is there a specific demographic that consumes it, or is it kind of a mixed bag?
Oh, look, I think you're 100% correct. Saying or talking about reality TV, or saying that you love reality TV or you hate reality TV, is kind of like saying you love or hate TV. You know, you can't, or you can no longer make those sorts of broad brush value judgments. There are a number of niches, a number of subgenres, and the demographics obviously do vary according to what it is that you're actually watching. But it's fair to say that the biggest audience for reality TV are women, female demographic, and, you know, in TV speak, we're talking about, you know, 18 to 35, and then, you know, 35 to 49. So it's, you know, the genre and the way the genre is kind of split really does allow it to capture that mass audience. And that's why reality TV is so appealing for TV networks in an era where there are so many media choices. There are so many niches. So, you know, there are 3, 4, 5 streaming services available now. Reality TV is still a really easy way to capture a large number of eyeballs.
Absolutely. Now, there's kind of this culture of hating on reality TV, and yet reality TV shows have amongst the highest ratings. And, you know, it's very interesting, like, how we're talking about reality TV, because you look at it and Love Island or Married at First Sight, The Bachelor, that's reality TV. Cake Boss is reality TV.
Yep.
Catfish, the TV show, is reality TV. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is reality TV. But also River Monsters and Diesel Brothers. Like, there's so much reality TV that's so different to one another. Yet there is this culture of hating on it. So why is this so? But why do people keep watching as well?
I think if you really hate reality television, you don't watch it.
Yeah.
The kind of narrative of hating reality TV is in many ways very similar to the kind of relationship viewers used to have with soap opera characters. You know, in every great soap opera, there was always a villain that people loved to hate. And I think that's probably a better way of thinking about it. You know, we might profess to hate this show or hate this person on a particular show, but they perform the role of a very important character. You know, any good narrative, any good story needs a hero, it needs a villain. So those people who we single out as being the villain, as being, you know, the negative influences, they're playing a really important part of the show. So I think when we say, or when someone says they hate reality TV, what I think they're really saying is that we love to hate it. We love to play that game with the show that we're watching.
Absolutely. Everybody loves to hate. A little bit of hating on something somewhat medial. They live for it. Well,
it's a willing game that, you know, audiences play. And I think that's one of the big issues that we need to kind of stop and think about for a moment, the other side of reality TV, what it's like to be a contestant. Because on one hand, you could say that if you're going on Married at First Sight or Love Island to find love, that probably demonstrates why you're going on the show in the first place. You know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
But to take that a little bit more seriously, a lot of reality TV show contestants don't really know what they're getting into when they sign up. And the after effects, which can last years of that, you know, 15 minutes of fame, can really be quite traumatic and have an enormous impact. I mean, I was just reading some media reports that said, I think around about 2007, about 38 reality TV show contestants worldwide had committed suicide. So
Jesus.
There are some significant downsides associated with getting real everyday people to play these roles.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jason. It's been really great having a chat with you about this.
Pleasure.